All right, welcome back. Who's talking tonight? Habbo and Terry Gates in the studio. We just heard from Frank Maloney. He's down in Chapel Hill on site, or he's not at the Smith Center just yet. He's on his way over there to be there in person for the big game that tips at 7 o'clock. We're taking you all the way up to the 7 o'clock tip tonight on Who's Talking. Terry, I think I'm going to go ahead and knock out the LeClaire Ryan play of the game from the other night. I thought a key moment in the game for Virginia and a moment where I actually felt pretty good was coming out of the under 4 minute dead ball timeout at 3:45. We made the inbounds play. Gil to Brogdon, he knocked down to three to make it 61-55. And at that moment, I'm thinking, I think we're going to hang on. Things look pretty good. So I'm going to give now Malcolm Brogdon the play of the game, although maybe the play of the game was on the ensuing possession where Quinn Cook answered by knocking down a three about 20 seconds later, which put the outcome of the game. Because, I mean, I thought that was a key possession in the game. After Virginia made the three, my thought was if we could just get a stop on Duke's next possession, we really would be in control of the basketball game. Obviously, it didn't work out that way.
You know, you're up 61-55 after that shot. If you just get six more points, you get to 67. They got to score 12. But my gosh, you know, they went from 58 to 69 in 3 minutes and 22 seconds.
Well, the three-point basket, you know. I mean, you know, as I've explained to people, you know, they don't have nine McDonald's All-Americans because their guys can't play. And their guards clearly stepped up, not only Matt Jones, but Tyrus Jones. Is it Quinn Cook made three, and who was the other one? Matt Jones. So the Jones guys, Tyrus and Matt, made important threes coming down the stretch. And, you know, obviously Virginia did not play well in the last 3 minutes or last 3 or 4 minutes of the basketball game, but sometimes you got to tip your hat to the other team. Duke obviously made plays, and it's not like Virginia didn't win the game. Duke took it away from him.
Yeah. You know, if you remember that flagrant foul on Justin Winslow, Justin Anderson makes two free throws. It makes it 55-47. So they score 22 points in the next, 5 minutes and 8 seconds.
Yeah.
That's a lot of points when you're only scoring 69, you know. So it's that was 50, almost 50% of what they had after 35 minutes. So different pace, but you give Duke all the credit. Where those three-pointers aren't easy. Not everybody wants to take those three-pointers, you know, in situations like that. But Coach K has the advantage of having kids that want to take those shots. They think they deserve those shots, and they think they're going in. And that's who you want shooting those shots. And I think that's something, if Virginia is going to continue to get better, I think our point guard, London Perantes, who plays very, very well, but he is given opportunities where he's wide open, and they're double-teaming Justin Anderson. Certainly they're going to put a lot of emphasis on Malcolm Brogdon. He has to realize, I think, that I have the best opportunity in the last 15 seconds of this shot clock to score for this team, and he needs to step up and take those because he is.
Particularly when they're wide open looks.
Yes.
And clearly he's got the ability to make the shot, and I'm just looking here at the play-by-play. He did make one at 5:59 to make it a five-point game, and then, of course, he made that little floater in the middle of the lane at 4:51 to make it 58-50. But, you know, Duke only had six made threes in the whole game, but they had five made threes in the last 4 minutes and 41 seconds. So,
that's a good time to get them.
Yeah, it's always a good time to knock down some threes. So, at any rate, hats off to the Dukies. How do you feel about, you know, a situation like this where you lose a tough game and you have to come back, you know, in 48 hours to play another really challenging game?
You know, and London Perantes was quoting a paper saying, thank God we only have the 48 hours and not think about it and play the next one. And to a certain extent, he's right. Now, I'm not so sure Chapel Hill and the Dean Dome is a place you want to see, you know, get your feet wet again. But think about what they went through. They had, 6 days off before the Duke game?
Right.
So that was a long time to have game day come in, all the hype. And not only is it game day, you know, but it's a 7 p.m. game. It's not a noon game and not a 2 game. It's a 3 game. It's at 7 p.m. So a lot happened between the last time that it was a Sunday game against Virginia Tech. So they had all that expansive time, and I guess you could use it to recharge your batteries. But I'm not sure how much recharging you're doing when you're facing Duke and at Carolina and Louisville coming back home at you.
Yeah, and I guess, as we said, Virginia didn't score in the last 3 minutes, and you go back to that Virginia Tech game, which, candidly, I thought they were fortunate to win. I thought Virginia Tech had a great opportunity to win that game, but the thing that struck me about the Virginia Tech game is Malcolm Brogdon made a three within the first 30 seconds, I think on the first possession, and then Virginia doesn't score again for 9 minutes.
Right.
Which, you know, if you are the second or third best team in the country, I don't understand a 9 minute scoring drought. You got to do something to make that better, at least from an offensive execution standpoint.
You're the second or best, third best team in the country when you're playing very, very well. So when you don't play very well, things kind of get off track, and their offense can get off track. So that's, and you look at, you know, what I think what's hurting the offense has been with Mr. Gill. He's had some ACC action games where he's gotten two fouls early, and he's out for the next, you know, he's out for the half. And he is, they are at their best when he's spinning in the paint, getting those, you know, those four-footer floaters off that he does. He's very athletic. He can get those off bigger guys. But when he sits down, it's up to Mike Toby to come in and finish things, and it just puts pressure on everyone when you know he's got two fouls with 10 minutes to go in the half.
Which, and we'll come back to that, could be a factor tonight against Carolina's bigs. But anyway, we got bottom of the hour break. We're going to take that break right now. Again, Terry Gates and Hobbo are here in the studio. In the next segment, we would welcome your calls, 345-0910, if you want to call in with a comment about the Duke game or ask a question of Terry Gates or yours truly. So stay tuned. Who's Talking? We'll be back after these messages.